Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com on CIUT 89.5 FM. It's 1870 with John A. Macdonald as the first Prime Minister of a newly confederated Canada, and he doesn't like what's going on in the Red River settlement led by Louis Riel. The PM wants to crush what he calls a rebellion, so he sends soldiers up the Dawson Trail, a newly surveyed road that connects the Great Lakes with the prairies. And soldiers need to get paid, so a courier on horseback is sent on the trail with heavy satchels stuffed with gold coins. But somewhere on the way, between what is now known as Thunder Bay to Winnipeg, he lost all the gold and has never been seen since. What has become of the Red River Gold? Red River Gold is the name of a new documentary series that follows Métis treasure hunters looking for $1 million worth of lost gold coins. It's history, it's geography, it's archaeology, and it's a brand new adventure. The series is directed by Saxon DeCock, who I spoke with on the show last year. Red River Gold features Ross Memphis Pambrin, a Winnipeg-based Métis musician, fire chief, raconteur, and the owner and operator of a satellite data company. He and his two co-hosts take us down that trail throughout the season in their quest for gold and history. Red River Gold is now playing on APTN, the Aboriginal People's Television Network, and on their streaming site, Lumi. And I'm very pleased to have here with me via Zoom from Calgary, Memphis Pambrin, to tell us more about what's going on with all this Red River Gold. Hi, Memphis.
Hi, Daniel. So great to be here.
Thanks so much for meeting with me. So how did you end up searching for gold coins, and how did it become a TV series?
So the director, I've worked with him before, Saxon DeCock. He's award-winning. We've had some great experiences together, telling stories of the Indigenous communities. We've shared musical history of our Indigenous communities. And we've both been in the journey of understanding our Métis backgrounds together, because you don't often have the opportunity to grow up Métis. You start to experience the culture, and as you become more involved, you realize this tremendous spirit. But we also knew a little bit about some stories out of Manitoba, of some lost gold. And one day Saxon came to me, he called me up and he said, "Listen, Ross, do you want to tell the story of the $1 to $2 million worth of lost gold in Manitoba?" I said, "Saxon, I'll have my bag packed and be ready to go in an hour." Now, the world of television doesn't quite work as quickly as I thought it was. So it took a while before we ensured that we had our broadcaster, APTN, and they were the first on board saying, "Wow, let's tell this story." And folks, for everybody listening out there, Red River Gold is a $2 million gold treasure hunt, pure and simple. My job is to lead experts, bring in all the tools that are required to tell this amazing Indigenous history story. And I am living my best life right now. Now, most of my time is spent traveling all over national and international, giving international talks. But Daniel, one of the airlines asked me the other day, "Boy, you spend most of your time in Winnipeg and Manitoba. This must be home for you." Well, I did grow up in Winnipeg. My dad was an Aboriginal veteran, so I've had the experience of living all over Canada. But what I'm doing now is this part of my joy where I'm telling this fantastic story.
Okay, so how long is the Dawson Trail, like, in miles? It's, what's 500 miles, 1,000 miles? Like, it's really...
No. We're really only talking about 150 kilometers in a way.
Okay, so, but 150 kilometers, that's still a needle in a haystack. How could you find something in such a big space?
I love that question. How we nail it down is when you're coming through the areas of like the Caribou Bog or the Devil's Bog, there was a route that was created through by the Métis. They were assisting. They were part of building the Dawson Trail. And these were what were called corduroy roads. And you had to follow the corduroy road if you wanted to make your way through the bog. So a soldier or soldiers who may have been, who knows, chased by the Indigenous people at the time, maybe they were trying to steal the gold, you could only go so far off the trail. So my job is to look for those landmarks, use the tools such as satellite technology, use drones in order to do ultraviolet, infrared, spectral monitoring to understand where were the foundations. Because if somebody was going to hide gold, if somebody was going to throw gold away because they've got to run away from somebody, you kind of need to put it near a landmark. So I've brought in experts like Lori Goldie Gagne, who is North America's premier metal detectorist, and I need her help. And what's happening is I get to tell this amazing story, but I brought along the experts who get to use their experience. And then I have the adventurers who make sure that I can get to every location I got to get to.
And all three of you are Métis, is that right?
Nope, two of us are Métis. Goldie's just our expert who comes out of Ottawa. Oh,
got it. Now, one thing I've found interesting coincidence, the famous, what we know as a department store, the Hudson's Bay Company, just went under after all these years. But in fact, it played a crucial role in this whole story. Like, if it weren't for the Hudson's Bay Company, probably the settlement wouldn't have existed. The Red River, like, can you talk about the role trappers played in setting
this
up? That
is so true. What was happening at the time, as the buffalo were slowly being dwindled and Canada was in this fur trade flourishing time, in the late 1600s, we had the Hudson's Bay and the Northwest Mounted Police. We had these sort of colonial structures and relationships that were occurring, and the indigenous population were looking, going, well, we're seeing our food supply, our sustenance dwindling. But what came in was the Hudson's Bay store. And they said, well, tell you what, for every 5 buffalo hides you bring in, you can buy stuff from our store. So all of a sudden, this relationship was occurring. Now, I think of what the experience must have been at the time when you're losing all of the land, all of the animal, all of your way of life, but you're being forced into a new direction. The Métis people were born of the fur traders and the First Nations group. These were the half-breeds of this relationship. It's very important to me that when I storytell, that using the word Indian is a word that a lot of people will say is colonial, but I say it's something that's accepted. It's part of the Indian Act. It's a relationship between the First Nations and the Métis people. The word half-breed is not offensive if you're using it as you share the stories of the communication and what's happening. And I think of my family and my father and the journey he's gone down. But as we tell these stories, we realize Hudson's Bay was pivotal in this space. But everybody would shop at that store. Everybody would come to that store. So all of the relationships that were occurring were built around this. And now for the Métis people who were driven off their land, the gold that was being shipped out and carried by the Wolseley Army was there to put down Louis Riel and the Red River Resistance. And there was provisional government there at the time. And Louis Riel said, well, hold on here. Let's have a conversation. And the government said, how about this? We're going to give you scrip and we're going to move you off your land. And we're not seemingly going to make it easy for you. And this is where that conflict was arising. So if I continue to prove and find some of the treasures that have been lost, like the cannons that were being carried by the Wolseley Army that reportedly were lost, if I can continue my search and prove where this gold was, and it just validates that part of our history that says, yeah, governments, the Métis were here, and we're a proud people.
So what's really interesting is a word you use, and it was also in the series. I grew up when I heard Canadian history, it was always the Red River Rebellion. You called it the Red River Resistance. Talk about the difference.
I love that. So it depends on which side of the surveyor's line that you were standing. So as the surveyors were coming across, the Métis people put their foot on the chain and said, you're going to stop surveying right here. Now the government said, well, the Métis are, there's an uprising, there's a rebellion. Well, if you're standing on the other side of the chain and it's your community that's coming forward, you're part of the resistance saying, before you decide you want to take our land, how about we have a conversation? And unfortunately, those conversations weren't happening at the time and those communities were driven out. And then it became, where were these families going to end up? And a lot of these people living in these communities were illiterate and they were relying on the support of the people within their community to help them out. So we need to continue to share. We're not talking that many generations to the late 1800s of families that were displaced. And now their conversation is, well, if you took the land before, can you give it back? And I like to think that we need to establish more of these kind of conversations.
One thing that I found interesting is this trail passes through, you call it a bog, but it's this is muskeg. So people who haven't heard of muskeg, what is it? And what was it like for you guys making the film dealing with? How'd you deal with a muskeg?
Well, in many episodes, these 13 episodes, you'll see us as we're approaching it. And one of my partners, Goldie, she has this desperate fear of how deep is the bog. There are times you'll put a stick down and it could be 10, 15 feet deep. There's been large equipment that's been lost along there. So when I say that our journey's fraught with peril, there are times that when you're in a watershed bog area that is very acidic and its role is to provide so much of the oxygen for Manitoba and to create part of our global atmosphere protection chain, it's very important to us that we spiritually take care of that area. But when we need to get across the bog because we can see islands, imagine you're looking across a big sheet of water, no problem. You get in a boat and away you go. Well, in our case, we're crossing a bog that wants to swallow you. And cannons were lost in this bog. Equipment was lost in this bog. We are not always sure of what type of off-gassing there is occurring. So we have to be very concerned about our own safety and the safety of our crew as we are doing this intrepid search for lost gold. But I've been standing at the bog, and as I stare across this abyss, there's an island. And I know that island was a refuge for people as they were coming across, trying to make their way across to Western Canada where they could build their empire. And I think to myself, I got to get to that bog. And we use every type of tool to get over there. And my job is to make sure we're there. And my job is to make sure we search it.
Now, if this were an American reality show, I would say it would be like three or four teams who are fighting each other and stabbing in the back to find who can find that gold and keep it all for themselves. But yours is a cooperative gesture. Do you think that's a Canadian thing or an APTN thing or a Métis thing or just the way you decide to do it?
At the end of every experience, we thank each other. Like, that's the beauty of it. We're there because we're friends in a shared spirit who want to tell this amazing story. And, you know, we're going to come across some of those conversations where what's the aspect of reality? There's enough stuff that's fallen out of people's pockets along the trail. Those are what we find. These are the treasures. And all of them line up to, this is exactly the route that people had to travel. So as we enjoy this story together, there's a very solid camaraderie that you see amongst us. And I've watched other shows. Sometimes you don't see it. It's just they fly an expert in and go, tell us what you know and then see you later. Not this journey, not this Canadian journey. This is a time where Canada needs to come together. And with this story that we're telling on Red River Gold, it is that journey. The Métis people want to grow with our nation, but we still want to have our spirituality. Just like it's very important to me that my First Nation friends and families, their stories are being shared. And the Inuit community, there's so many great stories in history that we're going to get to. Ours just happens to include what we now say is $2 million worth of gold sovereign that, as far as the Royal Mint in London is concerned, has never been found.
An excellent story. Thanks so much for telling it to me.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being a part of this journey and part of this ride, Dan.
I'm speaking with Memphis Pambrin, whose new doc series, Red River Gold, is now playing on APTN. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks so much.
This is Daniel Garber of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM out of my website, culturalmining.com.